Well, I got your tape today, so I'll try to fix me up a tape and send it to you today. You did a pretty good job, I thought, of recording your tape. There was several times there where the volume was up and then it was down. I think if you'll set the volume on the tape recorder, my tape recorder there at home, whenever you're recording, and it'll all come out equal and it won't be that variation in volume there. My tape recorder plays my tapes pretty good, but I think we'd be better off with a different recorder as far as my playing your tapes back on this tape recorder here. I know it's hard to get everything organized whenever you have a bunch of people like that that want to talk, but if you'll get you a piece of paper and write down you some notes and think about it for about 15 or 20 minutes, you'll be surprised how much better it'll sound whenever you make your notes and look at your notes while you're trying to talk. Yeah, I'm sure you all were just like I was when I started. Whenever, if you don't have notes, well, I can't remember what I want to say whenever I do get on the tape. Also, I think making a big difference in recording is to hold the microphone at the same distance all the time. I imagine for y'all's it'd be about 3 inches from the mouth. Like on mine here, I just hold it right up against my mouth, and it probably sounds like my nose is stopped up, which it is. I've been sick all week, as you probably know. I'm glad that you're getting to talk to Kay a lot over the telephone. I know that means a lot to her, and I'm sure it does y'all too. It means a lot to me too, to know that y'all are communicating the way you are. I've been getting a lot of mail lately. I've got another package today, and I got a package yesterday. The package yesterday was from Kay, and then I got a package of cookies from yourself today. I got a package of cookies from Janet a couple of days ago. They looked like they'd really been going through a beating, so whenever you do pack cookies like that, I don't know the best way to do it. I thought popcorn would be a real good idea too, but most of them were just crumbled up cookies whenever they finally got over here. I mentioned the fact that I've been kind of sick. Well, it was the 19th. I had the duty that day. It's a 24-hour deal. You sit over in the ready room. I'll explain what the ready room is a little later. I had the flu, and that was the day that I was supposed to have the duty, and the day that you have the duty, you're supposed to go over and get your flu shot. So what a flu shot is, I think, is just a little more of the flu serum that they inject into you, and it's supposed to make you more immune to the flu. But actually what it did to me, since I did already have a small case of the flu, it just made it that much worse. So I had the flu pretty bad there for a day. I was cold 1 minute and freezing the next, and it was a miserable feeling all day long. My nose is still kind of stopped up. It had been running for a good while. My eyes are just nearly closed shut there one day when the dirt was blowing so bad over here. It's the worst day of dirt blowing that I've seen in a good while. And I think I'm about to get over it all now. You were asking about the crew on the helicopter. Besides the pilot and the co-pilot, usually, depending on the type of mission that we're fixing to fly, you have two other crew members with you. They're both door gunners. This is when you're flying a gunship. You have one man on each machine gun that's on a turret sticking out each side door. But if you're flying a VIP hop or something like that, usually you just carry one crew chief, because he doesn't have a job. He just sits back there and he opens the door for the VIPs to get in and out and stuff like that. As far as flying with Tom or Dennis, actually I won't be flying with Tom or Dennis for a good while until we make a right seat pilot. We're co-pilots now. In other words, we're riding in the left seat. But that's the way all of us are. And until we do become a pilot, well, we probably won't be flying together. Sound like Clyde and Weldon had a pretty good time together politicking about Mr. Wallace. And I sure do hope Clyde finds him another dog so I can call him Mr. Nixon. That ought to be pretty interesting anyway, to say the least. You mentioned if I'd ever met Judy, Tim's fiance, or I guess it's Tim's wife now. Yes, I've met her several times. I think the first time I met her was down at Lubbock a couple of years, or right after he started dating her. And I never did really get to know her that well. I never did spend much time with her. But she seems to be a pretty good old girl. I think she'll be good for Tim. She ought to straighten him out pretty good. I don't know what to talk about. I'll try to give you what one of my daily schedules is like on this side, with a few more comments on a few other things. And then I'll try to turn over, and on the back I'll tell you about the worst day of my life. As far as our daily schedule is concerned, a lot of it depends on what launch that we have during that day. Usually we have two launches. One launch is early in the morning, and then one launch is right after dinner. And we have a lot of standby situations. If you do happen to have the early morning launch, usually you're up by 5 o'clock. They come around and wake you up. You don't have to have your alarm on or nothing. You can just sleep right on through. And it's their fault if they don't wake you up. So they come in and wake you up about 5 o'clock. You get up and shave and get dressed. And usually go down to the chow hall. The chow hall's about a quarter of a mile down the road here. And then after you eat chow, you walk on up to the ready room, which is about another half mile. Another quarter of a mile, which makes it about a total of a half a mile from here to the ready room, or the squadron area. The ready room, I mentioned that a while ago, is it's just a little room in there where we hold all of our briefs and debriefs on each hop. And this is where you learn a lot from the old veterans that telling the old war stories, you know. But it's just a place to lounge around and wait. Like if you're on a standby, you're waiting for a medevac call to come in so you can go out and pick a medevac up or something like that. Well, it's usually where you're waiting, is in the ready room. They have games and stuff in there that you can play while you're waiting, but it gets pretty boresome just sitting waiting in the ready room. And usually if you do have the morning launch like that, well, usually you're off by noon and you have that all afternoon off. But if you don't have the early launch, you'll have the afternoon launch, and you'll launch about 12 o'clock and you'll be back about 6 or 7 that night. We have lunch here, or if we're flying down around Da Nang or something, we usually try to be down there for lunch, because usually their meals down there are a lot better than our meals are up here. And if we're flying up around Quang Tri, usually this is an all-day affair. You go up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you usually don't come back till 6 that afternoon or that night. And the same thing if you're flying down to Da Nang and back. But we never do go without a meal. We usually get our meal somewhere. After we get back from our mission and the mission is complete, we usually just come home, rack out. We get lots of rest. A lot of times we write letters and just shoot the bull. Play a lot of AC-DC. It's a little a game kind of like checkers. You play with checkers only. You play with dice and checkers on a checkerboard. It's a lot of fun. You mentioned something about not letting anybody hear this tape. Now, you be sure and don't let anybody hear it. But I guess if you think you got to, well, if you really feel like you have to, well, you can go ahead and take it out to KNNN, let them play it over the air if you think you need to. About the peaches, I don't think they'd be a very good idea. I don't think they'd get over here in anything less than just a mess of rotten peaches. We might try it come Christmas time, but I think the mailing situation is going to be in pretty bad shape about Christmas time anyway. So if you got anything you want to get, be sure that it gets here before Christmas, well, you better send it in the mail about a month before Christmas and put on there, do not open before Christmas. But otherwise, it may not get here till January or February. You mentioned something about the clothes for that I mentioned to you, fixing up and sending. What I meant was let Kay pick those suits up maybe around Christmas time or something and bring them to Hawaii with her so that I'd have some clothes to wear while we were on R&R. Well, Hooch Life's coming pretty good. Our Hooch Maids or Mama Signs, they're doing pretty good. Hadn't had much trouble. One of ours was griping the other day. She's wanting a little more money. Well, we pay her 5,400 piastres a month, which turns out to be about right around $50 a month. And there's nine of us in here, and she does all of her washing and does keeps the hooch pretty clean. She doesn't work on Sundays, so she doesn't have a lot to gripe about, I don't think. She's in the upper class out in the villages with that kind of money coming into her family. I'll look like this tape's about over, so I'll try to turn it over and fill up that.